Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio. We're so glad you're with us today as we seek to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. We might have a sense it's not just a matter of taking steps along a pathway, a religious journey, but coming next to the Lord and having a dialogue that leads to greater intimacy. And I'm focusing on an author who's come out with a number of excellent books that help us along this journey. And the particular book we're looking at now is called The Magnificent Journey, subtitled Living Deep in the Kingdom. We have with us James Brian Smith. Dr. Smith, thank you for being with us today.
I'm happy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's amazing to me to read about your coming alongside for many years, Richard Foster and Dallas Willard. These are two men who've touched the world with their writings and teachings on this very topic. How have they influenced your life?
Well, in so many ways. I mean, as you mentioned, their writing, certainly, but I was privileged, as you mentioned, to work alongside them. Richard was my college professor and mentor early on, and then a few years later, we started a ministry called Renovare, and Dallas Willard was a part of that early ministry and got to work with Dallas quite a bit. I was his teaching assistant at Fuller for 7 years, and just to be around both of those guys was a blessing in itself. I often say that the Christian life is more caught than taught, which is, I know, a theme of what your program's about. It's beyond words. It's just being with them, I saw the kingdom life modeled, and I wanted to have what they had.
Mm. So if there's some way in a short half hour, as we are simply talking here, people are getting, you know, not the full conversation. They don't get to look at you, Jim, face to face, but help us along this journey. You've titled your book, The Magnificent Journey. How did you come up with that title? You know, what's the book about?
Well, I love the word magnificent, you know, because it has its root word in magnify and to sort of magnify the glory of God. That's where we get that great prayer of Mary called the Magnificat. And so I love the word. And I wrote a book that was the first book in this series called The Magnificent Story, and it came out a year ago. And in that book, I examined, you know, what is the nature of our story, our gospel? How do we understand the nature of God and the nature of the Christian life? Because we're people who tell stories. We love stories. And so I was saying, you know, what is the magnificent story that we live into? And then that leads to the book that we're talking about today, which is, you know, if you live into that, the right story, what kind of journey does that lead to? What kind of life does that bring about? And so I knew when I had started the first book on the magnificent story that the magnificent journey was the natural next thing I wanted to turn my attention to. And so that's kind of how it happened.
I love the way you open the book. You know, I too have been through seminary, and I know how the institutions today, unlike maybe a Richard Foster or Dallas Willard approach, the institutions of training can tend to be very academic. And you describe how it's a second year of seminary. You're feeling kind of dry spiritually. Listeners, you may relate to this. You may have been hearing a lot of good sermons, reading books, and you're like, how do I really get a life with God through all this? And you, Jim, describe how you said, I'm going to go on a 5-day retreat in a monastery. And there something really clicked. I love that story. Can you tell it a little bit? And it'll help draw us into this whole journey.
Yeah, you know, I think some of the times when God moves the most in our lives are when we hit a place of desperation. I know that doesn't sound very inviting, but Dallas Willard used to say that God's address is at the end of your rope. And I certainly have experienced that. And so my second year of seminary was a time when I was so focused academically on studying about God that my relationship with God began to wane. And I felt it in my soul, but I didn't know what to do about it. And a friend of mine, he actually lived in the same dorm as I did in seminary. He was going to take, I think it was spring break. It was some sort of a break that we had. And he was going to use that time to go on a silent retreat at an Episcopal monastery. And he said, you want to come with me? And I was just, again, in a place of kind of desperation. I said, yeah, I need to do something. So, and it was not very appealing, as you can imagine, a 5-day silent retreat. I mean, you're there for 5 days and you don't get to speak, and they don't even speak at the meals. I mean, one of the monks will read while you're eating, but by and large, it's just so silent, and which is great, but it's also challenging. So the only time I got to really speak to somebody was my hour with a spiritual director every day. And so I met with the spiritual director, and he gave me a passage to meditate on and for us to talk about the following day. And it was the Annunciation story in Luke's gospel where Gabriel tells Mary she's going to give birth to Jesus. And so I, because I was trained as a seminarian to exegete the passage, to study it academically, that's how my mind worked. And so I thought, well, here's some insights I have into the passage. And next day I met with a spiritual director, this monk, and he was a wonderful guy. But he said, what did God speak to you? And I was like, well, I don't know if God spoke to me, but here are my thoughts about this passage. And it, of course, didn't impress him at all. And he assigned the text to me again. He said, well, you can go back for another day with this thing. And so the second day I did it and came back and still had nothing. Third day I did it. And I thought, this guy's going to, wear me down with this one passage of scripture. But I did hit the end of my rope. I was just, the silence had been so deafening in an odd way that finally after the third day, the passage came to life for me. And I sort of entered into the text, the story of this Annunciation to Mary. And it was like I was in the story and God was speaking to me, like, what would you be willing to surrender and to sacrifice and to say yes to, as Mary did? And it opened up a whole new way of interacting with God. And that became, that was a turning point, because I would return to seminary after that with the realization that, yeah, it's good to study academically. It's good to learn in your head, but your heart is also crucial, and that we are designed to have the word move from our head into our heart. And so I begin the book just talking about this magnificent journey begins with the way of surrender.
Wow. As you describe yourself coming to the book, the Bible, and it just, you're trying to exegete the words, coming to the meaning, and you're not really getting it for yourself. And everything kind of turns around over time as you're spending these 5 days. Then if you go forward through the years of your life, and you have been not just sitting alongside these great spiritual, I'll call them giants, but I think you know what I mean. They're servants of God who've gone before us and spent a lot of years learning how to get close to God. And then you began working with them and writing a lot of your own wonderful works on spiritual formation on this very topic. Right now, as you look at scripture, do you have any, I'm just getting really practical real fast here, but any tips for the person who says, James Bryan Smith, I read the Bible and it's really a dry book. I already know that stuff. What can I get out of it?
Yeah, I think the counsel I would give is to come to the text with an attitude of surrender and to be able to say, it's really important, I think, that we pray, we ask the Holy Spirit to give us insight, to speak to us where we are. In addition, of course, to good study. I'm not against at all good, what we call exegetical study. In fact, I'm preaching this Sunday, and this week I've been looking at the lectionary passages and exegeting them and looking at historical background. But at a certain point, I have to stop and say, okay, I'm not called to analyze the scripture. At a certain point, the scripture is going to analyze me and my congregation. And so, I use the image of a microscope. You put the scripture under the microscope and examine it. Well, you know what? We're supposed to be under the microscope, and the microscope is actually the Bible, and it's the thing that's going to examine our lives. And so I read the Bible looking for the challenge. Sometimes it's comfort, sometimes it's challenge, whatever it is that God's wanting to speak to me individually or, as I said, to our congregation, our church. And so that's how I listen to the scriptures. I want to be a faithful exegete or academic as I approach it, because I don't think we approach the Bible just like willy-nilly, hey, whatever it means to me. I think we have good tools to study, but at a certain point that ends and you begin to say, now what is the scripture going to speak directly to me and to my life, and to surrender to the Spirit along those lines.
So chapter 3 of your book, and to the listener, we're looking at the book, The Magnificent Journey. Talk about the daughter you lost. And the title of the chapter 3 is Living from Above. So let's get into the idea of living from above in a minute. But